Hello, everybody. Dwayne McCachran here with another edition of... Oh, somebody almost run into me there. Another edition of Community From Within podcast. As usual, I'm driving home from work. And haven't recorded in almost 2 weeks now. And from the last... Not the last episode, but one of the last ones that we did, talked about government, how government works and all that. And I glanced over a couple things I wanted to bring up. I haven't sat down and listened to that one. That was like an hour and a half. I had to go for a long trip for work, so I recorded that one. It's about an hour and a half talking about how government works, and I compared how government works to running like a community organization, like a local community hall or something. And how all those similarities, how they seem so similar to me. And in essence, if you think about government in those terms, it's a lot easier to understand. For me, at least. I hope it's useful. But I haven't sat down and gone through it all yet to make some notes on things that I may have missed or wanted to correct. But one thing for certain is, I talked about at the beginning, it's like a pet peeve when I see people talk about this or that issue and this or that level of government and they're not even connected. Like a person will complain about something that maybe the municipal government is responsible for, but they're blaming the provincial representative. Or they're talking about a provincial issue, but it's a federal jurisdiction. And that sort of thing, just it's always bothered me. Of course, there's times in my life in the past where I didn't realize who was responsible. So it's not necessarily a person's fault if they don't know. You don't know what you don't know, of course. So that's why I wanted to talk about this a little bit today. And in general, and I'm not... Again, not an expert, and I'm not. I probably could have looked this up to give myself more of a comprehensive list. But just generally, I want to talk about some of the things that I believe I know. So let's start at the municipal level. Municipality, generally, I guess, is one of a few different things. In a really rural area, the municipality might be your county. There's a collection of villages, maybe a couple of towns within that municipality. Sometimes it can encompass one or more cities as well. Sometimes a municipality might just be a town itself, or a city itself, and nothing else. So where I'm at, I'm in Cape Breton Island, of course, so... But one example is, next door to us, there's Antigonish. So there's the municipality of the town of Antigonish. But there's also the municipality of the county of Antigonish. These are two separate municipalities. One is the town, one is the county. And the town is actually located within the county, but is not under the jurisdiction of the county. Where I live in Inverness County, the municipality of the county of Inverness. There are no incorporated towns within the county, but we have, there's Judick, Port Hood, Mabu, Inverness, Margaree, Shettycamp, all the way to the tip of Pleasant Bay and Meek Cove are all part of the municipality of the county of Inverness. But we also have... Oh, great, the Cancel Causeway is open, looks like, and traffic is getting backed up. This is going to be fun. Oh, we got lots of time to record today. There'll be less road noise, at least. So... Where was I going with this? So yeah, there's the municipality of the county of Inverness, And right next door to us, for example, is the town of Port Hawkesbury. And provincially, this is a good example, because provincially, the riding, I don't know if they just left the name, but the riding of Inverness, I believe, is now encompasses all of Inverness County, as well as the town of Port Hawkesbury. See, it didn't incorporate the town of Port Hawkesbury up until after the last election. They changed the boundaries. They changed the boundaries of the provincial riding of Inverness. So now the town of Port Hawkesbury is incorporated in the provincial riding. But that does not change the municipality of the county of Inverness or the town of Port Hawkesbury's individual municipal jurisdictions. So what are municipalities generally responsible for? It's usually the most basic services. Your water, sewage, in some of the bigger areas. What else? Water, sewage, not usually roads, unless it's a part of a town. A town might be responsible for the roads within the town itself. Municipalities take care of things like sidewalks. Sometimes snow removal. They're responsible for building permits. The building inspector is usually part of the municipality. You need to apply for building permits from your municipality in order to build a house or something on your property. Sometimes municipalities have bylaws regarding pets, like dogs. You might have to register your dog with the municipality. If there's a dog catcher, I don't know if they still use that term, but or animal control officer. They might be a municipal employee. So all these most basic services, water and sewer being the big ones. If you're on a municipal water system, obviously it's a municipality that's responsible for that. Which means if you have problems with your water, you don't complain to the provincial rep or the federal rep. You complain to your municipality. Generally speaking, obviously if you're complaining to your municipality and you're not getting anywhere with it, then you can have the provincial or federal reps put pressure on the municipality on your behalf. But I guess I'm communicating this for the benefit of the people who don't understand whose jurisdiction these things are generally. And then we have the provinces. And I'm speaking in the Canadian context here, of course. Provinces and the territories, and then the federal government. And the provinces, are generally responsible for things like education, roads and infrastructure, healthcare. These are all, a lot of the money might come from the federal government, from federal tax revenue. The provincial government gets taxes as well, and the municipality has taxes. But the provinces are generally responsible for most of the other day-to-day things you would encounter. If you're driving on a main highway, it's likely a provincial jurisdiction. When you see the snow plows in the wintertime, those are provincial employees. When you go to a hospital, they're run and administered by the province. How the healthcare money is spent by the province. How the funding from the federal government is doled out to the provinces, but the provinces, I believe, end up with the ability to decide how to spend that money on healthcare. education schools. These are all provincial employees. And then the federal government is more responsible for the bigger ticket items like national defense. So the military. This is a federal jurisdiction. And negotiating, you know, trade deals, free trade agreements, stuff like that. That's not to say that the provinces can't promote themselves, or even cities. They can, of course. But at the federal level is where it's a nation state, so that's where the nation state negotiates with other nation states on behalf of everybody in the country. I'm trying to think of some examples of things that are happening. Well, I've been debating in my head whether or not I wanted to talk about a certain issue that's happening right now at home here. Because as I said before, I don't want to take political sides in this podcast. I'll talk about government and how government works, but I don't want to talk about take sides, basically. I'd rather not at this point, anyway. My political leanings are not what the purpose of this podcast is for. And in the spirit of hopefully reaching as many people as possible with my ideas around community development and community organizing and things like that, I don't want to box myself in and be seen as appealing to any part of the political spectrum whatsoever. So, I've said that before. Probably say it again. But anyway, so the big issue around here these days, on the western side of Cape Breton, unless you've been living in a hole in the ground, you know that there's a fierce debate going on about a proposed airport development for the area around Inverness. So here's the brief summary, and forgive me if I'm missing something. I remember back when I first got involved with the Judicon Area Development Association back in 2002, 2003, around that time, number of groups were invited to Inverness, and we met with people from the Inverness Development Association, and there's some people there talking about the idea of building a golf course. They're trying to attract interest in building a golf course along the ocean, on some former light industrial areas, and above where the old coal mines were, to reclaim the land, build a golf course. At one point, they actually set up a few holes, like par three holes, and you could go and you could tap some golf balls around just for fun. It was just to give you the idea, that put the vision in your head. And lo and behold, after many years of working, they attracted some people, some investors, and they built what's now called Cabot Links, which is an absolutely beautiful golf course right along the water in Inverness. Shortly afterwards, they built a second golf course called Cabot Cliffs. And today, in 2019, if I'm not mistaken, these two golf courses are ranked in the top 100 in the entire world. And there's two of the top golf courses in Canada, obviously. So, and I should mention, Cape Breton already has some beautiful golf courses already. We don't have as many in Cape Breton as they do in Prince Edward Island, which I believe somebody told me is like 18 golf courses. But in Cape Breton here, hope I'm not missing any, we have, of course, Cabot Links and Cabot Cliffs, as I just mentioned. There's Bell Bay and Bedeque. There's Dundee, which is in Dundee. There's Highlands Links, which is in Inganish. There's also Sheddy Camp. And I think there's a second one in Bedeque called Bedeque Forks. And over towards Sydney, Benyon, I believe there's a golf course near where the ski hill was. And over the other side, Sydney, Glace Bay area, I'm not sure. I think there might be a couple more. I'm not familiar with the golf courses over there. And I haven't golfed. I've only golfed three of the courses in Cape Breton my entire life. I've done Bell Bay, Dundee, and Bedeck Forks. But anyway, that's off, totally off topic. But the point was, I just didn't want to leave anybody out. The golf course is, whether you, there's opponents, and there's people that have been for them, people against them since the beginning. And I'll share my opinion here a little bit. Whether you like the golf courses or not, you cannot deny the what I think is a positive impact on the community over the past number of years, as in terms of, you know, employment, positive mentality, economic growth. As a kid growing up here, and you go to Inverness, back then it was depressing, I guess, is one way to put it. And today I feel it's the opposite. It's actually, you know, the town is booming. There's other businesses growing and opening, and it's wonderful to see. It's fantastic. Okay, we'll leave that there. The nearest airport is the Port Hawkesbury Airport, which is actually along the Trans-Canada near Port Hastings. So it's within the jurisdiction of the municipality of Inverness County, but I believe it's supported financially by the municipality of Inverness as well as the town of Port Hawkesbury. Possibly Richmond County, I'm not sure. There's three contributors, I believe. But from there, it's an hour drive to Inverness. As well, people fly into Halifax, and it's a three-hour drive to Inverness from there. And the golf courses have shuttle buses that people drive passengers back and forth, both to Halifax, as well as to the airport in Port Hawkesbury. The road conditions from Port Hawkesbury Airport to Inverness, like the road I'm on right now going through Craignish, is absolutely beautiful. It's almost brand new. It was only paved here, 2 years ago or something. But from here all the way to Port Hood, pretty well, the pavement is in fairly excellent condition. Between Port Hood to Inverness, it's not, or Port Hood to Mabu and beyond, not too bad. Just before you get to Inverness in the Strathlorne area, the pavement is in dire need of repair. It's pretty bad. But it is, I think, the majority of those sections slated to be repaired this year. So overall, yeah, okay, some condition of the road's not 100%, but they are planning to do some work to it. So I'm just trying to lay out what's the current situation first of all. I think that covers most of it. Anyway, so this came up a number of weeks ago, that the federal government was announcing they had combined with the province of Nova Scotia a total of $18 million to put towards building a commercial airport in the Inverness area. And more details have slowly been coming out. Cabot is one of the primary, Cabot is part of a group, including other businesses and people involved, promoting it. And they have a website, I think it's called buildcapebreton.ca. And it's promoting the airport. They have a business case they presented. And so they're saying that by building this airport, it's going to continue to spur economic growth. It's going to bring more people here. It's going to increase tourism, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And, of course, the opponents are saying, well, if you look at the condition of the roads that still need upgrading in other areas, if you look at the water systems, I mentioned earlier the municipalities are responsible for water. Well, the Judic system was in need of major repair. They did some, but I think there's still work to be done. Inverness itself needs work to be done. Port Hood is having water issues recently. So people are saying to the municipality, how could you promote this? Why can't, you know, a lot of people think the money should go towards these things rather than an airport. And of course the town of Port Hawkesbury as well, very adamant against the airport because they're afraid that an airport in Inverness will negatively impact the airport in Port Hawkesbury. So what's happened here in just a couple of years ago is a new company formed and started managing the airport in Port Hawkesbury. A good chunk of their business includes customers coming to Cabot, and they're afraid if those customers now divert to Inverness, they'll lose that, and then their business will fold. So in some cases, people figure that the Port Hawkesbury Airport may, I don't know if it will actually close down, but it will need further subsidy to continue operating at any capacity in the future. And it threatens things like Life Flight, which is a medical helicopter access, and things like this.
Okay.
So, and truly, I've been listening to both sides of this, and I guess, in a way, I feel comfortable talking about it without coming across like I'm having an opinion either way, because in many ways I do see the rationale behind both sides of the argument, okay, over the debate. There's merits to both. The people against the airport don't believe that the numbers that have been given so far are correct or accurate. And to their credit, you know, Cabot and the other people involved haven't released all the numbers. They've thrown out some numbers, but not all the numbers in the business case in order to prove where they're getting these from. So that creates skepticism. On the other hand, you know, a lot of times private businesses will not release financial information. No matter what the circumstance, because it's their private information, their private business. I'm trying to be as balanced as possible here, and I hope you recognize that. I'm not taking sides either way in this conversation. And if I'm missing something, or you want to comment, or you feel I left some key piece of information out, please let me know. Go to communityfromwithin.com. There's a contact form. Send me a message. Put it in all caps and yell at me if you want to. Yell at me for not taking a side. Say, by not taking a side, you're siding with the enemy, whoever that might be. But I'm just not taking a side in this conversation. I'm just trying to get it out there. So this is what it's all... This is where I'm trying to get to is... So... The municipality of the county of Inverness, from what I understand right now, of the six councillors, including the warden, they're possibly, I guess, divided in a way. There's no consensus on whether they should be for or against it. There's been a committee of the whole. And there's a presentation about an alternative plan. I'll mention that later if I remember. But the councillors who spoke, some of them said they're against it, some of them said they're for it, and there's no consensus either way about what the county would do. In fact, the Build Cape Breton group, I guess you could say led by Cabot, or at least partially led by Cabot, haven't yet even presented to council. at this point. But they're going to be, I believe, before the end of the month. As I'm recording this on, what's the date today? July 21st? 22nd. It's Monday the 22nd, I think. 2019. So here's a municipality. Until this all came out, I mean, I don't know who knew what, or who was involved with what, but the municipality is basically saying nobody had given them any information or presented it to them. People are saying they should be against it or for it, and none of the funds come from them at this point. They haven't been asked to contribute any funding, I don't think, officially. People speculate they would have to. Some people are looking at some numbers and where there's, you know, public information out there available online and other sources that show costs to upgrade or repair or build airstrips and landing sites in other areas. And one estimate said that the cost to build a small commercial airport like this would be more in the range of $50 to $60 million or something. Whereas, you know, the business case presents the plan of $18 million. There's, you know, so that people are saying there's discrepancies here. But the Bill of Cape Breton people also say that, you know, it's going to create up to 600 jobs between the construction and the spin-offs and other economic growth. But the municipality is, in a way, just stuck here because it feels to them like the federal and provincial governments maybe sprung it on them. Or at least that's how it's being portrayed in some ways by some people. But also, you know, I think it was stated somewhere that Cabot, folks at Cabot, had been working on this idea and talked about this idea over the past 5 to 10 years. So for them, this was nothing. It was never a secret. They've been talking and working on this, and they're basically saying, "Look, this is, you know." In fairness to them, they've come here. They've built two of the nicest golf courses in the entire world. There's other wonderful businesses opening up in the Inverness area. And there's, you can see the spin-off growth in the region. And these same people are saying this is a good idea. So it's like, in a way, coming down to, you know, do you trust the experts or not? They're experts at spurring and economic development and growth. They're saying this is what they need to continue that. And I guess you either accept that at face value or you don't. And some people do and some people don't. And I'm not saying you should or you shouldn't. That's just, that's where it's at. So what about that $18 million? Why can't we just spend that on the roads and the water, like some people say? Well, this is where it comes down to, you know, not understanding how government works. So the federal government has a fund. This is like rural development fund, let's say. I don't know the actual term for it. But it's money allocated to go to rural areas for infrastructure funding or something like that. Okay. If you don't use that money for this airport, can you use it for roads? Probably not, because the roads are a provincial jurisdiction, and their budgets are already done for roads for this year and next year. I think they do roads for 5 years out. The federal government budget, they budgeted this money for rural projects, specifically infrastructure, let's say. So, large, maybe it's, I don't know the details, I'm just going off the top of my head here. It could be things like airports, it could be major bridges, it could be, I don't know, wharves, things like this, let's say. Parks, maybe. Okay, so can you use this money for roads? Can you use it for the hospital, for the healthcare? Can you use it to boost the education system? No, you're not going to get that money for that. The people who say, if you don't use this $18 million for the airport, we're going to lose it. generally they're correct. That's what the money was earmarked for. Once that's done in government, I mean, the federal level, especially, you're talking about a bureaucracy that is gigantic to get them to... Yeah. It's unfortunate sometimes, but that's basically how it comes out. The money is there. It's allocated for this project. Do you want it for this project or not? No? Okay, thanks. It goes back into the coffers, and it will get spent somewhere else from that fund. There'll be another project that will get the green light. Maybe not anywhere near here. So if you have fear about losing that money, those fears are founded. Now, the question came up. There's another group presented an alternative. They talked about building an aquatic park. An aquatic park, like, you know, water slides and swimming pools and stuff, and how that could, you know, spur economic growth as well, be welcome in the community, that sort of thing. Off the top of your head, you think an aquatic park in Inverness, right beside the beach. That makes a lot of sense. No, it doesn't. Actually, if you look in some places, aquatic parks actually can do wonders. They're now, if it's kid-friendly, my wife's hometown, they have an aquatic park there, and it's always booming with people. Booming. Year-round. So there's merit to that idea, but like I said, the federal government has this money earmarked for this project. Are they going to amend the project to allow the money to go to the same jurisdiction for a different project, aquatic park or otherwise? I don't know. My personal feeling is no, I don't think they would do that. I don't know if they could do that or not. Just because of the sheer bureaucracy of the whole thing. Because, you know, it's the people at Cabot, for example, who've been working on this for 10 years. Imagine all the work and effort they put into this. We may not be able to see that work, but it's been done. They push for it. Finally, they get the money. And then the government says, oh, no, sorry, we're going to build something else this other group wants, who, you know, just came up with this idea last week. I'm exaggerating a bit here, but, you know, you see what I'm saying? I don't think the federal government can do that either. Or would do that. So in essence, my gut feeling is if the money's not used, that it would be lost. But is $18 million going to build an airport that can handle commercial flights in 2019? Again, my gut says no, but I don't know the designs, I don't know the cost, or where it's coming from. And there's questions over ownership, who's going to run it, who's going to maintain it in the future. Is it necessary, ultimately? I don't know. I don't know. I'm trying to think if there's anywhere in the world I've ever flown to where I get off the plane, go through the airport, get in the car, and I have less than an hour drive to get to where I'm going. So to get off the plane in Port Oxford and drive an hour... To some people, that seems unreasonable. To some people, that seems totally reasonable. I hope I'm doing justice to both sides here and trying to convey, you know, the argument. I apologize if for any reason I seem biased to one side or the other. I'm you know. Some days I wake up and I think about it, and I think, okay, I know how I feel about this. This is how I feel. Because this, and this, and this. And then I hear something else, and I go, I hadn't thought about that. That's an interesting point. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I should think this way about it, this, this, and this. And that's why, you know, again, I feel comfortable talking about it more so because even deep down personally, I'm not sure how I feel overall. It's unfortunately very divisive. I wonder if the divisiveness of this is is caused by the divisiveness in society in general, the polarization that we have in general in society today. I don't know. It seems to be. There are some people in the conversation I'm listening to who, you know, they're genuinely trying to look at, you know, compromise, but overall, yeah, a lot of people I see that are, especially online, they're one or you're either for or against. For or against. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Is this, again, some people think this is a top-down approach. This is the federal government and maybe the provincial government as well coming in and saying, here's a project, let's do it. And pushing it on the people from like a top-down approach. But then again, as mentioned, you know, whether it's the folks at Cabot or them combined with others, they said they've been working on this for a long time, at least 5 years, if not more, upwards of 10. I've seen the number 10 years written down somewhere in one of the papers. One thing's for certain, the local newspaper, the Inverness Oran, I haven't seen this many letters to the editor in a long time, which is fantastic. It's good to see people engaged and passionate about, you know, local issues like this, and something like this that encompasses all three levels of government at the same time, municipal, provincial, and federal. With a federal election coming up in October 2019, and a provincial election not that far out beyond, and municipal elections in 2020 as well. It's fascinating to see this all coming. You know, as a fan of politics, it's fascinating to watch. And then we'll see. And without saying anything political, it'd be interesting to see how this plays out and see how the political situation is affected by this. In other words, you know, because right now in Nova Scotia, it's a Liberal government. Federally, it's a Liberal government. But provincially, our riding is conservative, progressive conservative in Inverness. But now the new riding encompasses the town of Port Hawkesbury. And so the conservative MLA here will have to run in Port Hawkesbury. And at this time, the mayor of Port Hawkesbury is dead set against the airport in Inverness. And then the MLA, the local MLA, has said he's unsure about it. I don't know if he said he's against it necessarily. I don't think he said that yet. But he said it. You know, there's he needs more information, basically, and rightfully so. It's part of his riding. Large part of his riding, he needs to look at this very carefully. And it's an interesting situation for sure. And municipally, like I said, the council seems to be divided. So again, as a fan of politics, this is both wonderful and awful at the same time, because I live here, I'm a taxpayer here, and it's important to me how things are done, and I care about how things are done. I'm on the dirt road section now, so it's getting louder. I think I've talked enough. Oh yeah, almost 40 minutes, excuse me. So, I hope this was useful in trying to talk a little bit more about the municipal, federal, and provincial governments and how they differ in responsibilities and stuff. Because I didn't really get into that in my long diatribe there a couple episodes back on government. And, again, if I once I sit down and listen to these, and I'll make more notes if I come up with more things to talk about, then I'll do that. And as always, again, communityfromwithin.com. Go to the contact form, send me a message. If you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts, please give me a 5-star review, and I believe on Stitcher you can also leave reviews, and I'm also on Google Play. I think you probably leave a review there. I've had suggestions for a couple other platforms, but as of yet, I haven't uploaded to anything else but those first three at this point. So I'm just on Stitcher, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts at the moment. And as well as on the website, communityfromwithin.com, you can go to the posts, blog post section, and all of these episodes are available to listen to there as well. So thank you for listening. Have a great day, and talk to you next time. Bye-bye.